My name is George Holder. I'm a fellowship coordinator from Freeport, and I'm honored and blessed to be able to share God's word with you this day. What I want to share with you, and also to cause you to deeply consider the love of the Father. Go to Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. We've read this verse so many times, over and over and over and over, hundreds and thousands of times. Many times you see it, but you don't really go through it. But looking at it for what it is, in John 3:16, our Lord speaks of God. Verse 15 says that whosoever believes in him, speaking of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, should not perish but have everlasting life. Then he goes on to say, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That is the point that I want us to really to think deeply upon. God so loved the world, a world that was so unlovable, a world that was not worthy of God's love, a world that was not worthy of God's forgiveness and God's grace. But he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, a Son in which he prophesied of his coming, a Son in which he foretold of what he would do and what he would provide, a Son who would be so loving and obedient to him, and a Son who loved us and man so much because of God's love, was willing to give his life as a sacrifice for us, but for all men. When you really think deeply upon that love that God has and had for us, you ought to really pay attention to his word, to his Son, what he's given his Son to share with us and to teach us and to show us, to bring us unto that kingdom. He says in verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. The purpose that God sent his Son is that the world might be saved through him. That's why God sent him. That's why God set him before us as the example, the prime pinnacle of God's love, an example of his love and walk with God. Go to Mark, book of Mark, chapter 12. Jesus Christ was being taunted and tempted of the Pharisees in the earlier parts of this chapter. But in verse 29 in chapter 12, Jesus Christ is being asked by one of the scribes who listened to him and the Pharisees as they were going back and forth concerning the resurrection. Pharisees were trying to dupe him concerning the resurrection, gave him a parable or an example of there were seven brothers. One had the wife. Each one died in succession. They would marry the wife. Then in the end, he says, well, in the resurrection, well, whose wife shall he be? But Jesus answered and said, well, you know not the scriptures. Because in the resurrection, they shall neither marry or be given in marriage. Think about it. But they shall be as the angels of heaven. Think about that. In that resurrection, you're neither married or are given in marriage. So to have the thought like, in the resurrection, I know who I want to be married to. No, you're neither marrying or are given in marriage. But you shall be as the angels in heaven. That's a high honor. That's a high place to be set in the kingdom. But then the scribe, having heard him in verse 28, it says, reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, he asked them, well, which is the first commandment of all then? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. To love God with every fabric of your being, with everything that's within you. Why? Because he first loved you. He loved the world so much that he was willing to give his only begotten son. That's why. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor, the one closest to you, as yourself. That means your wife, your mom, your dad, in your household, on the street, the woman or man that you're working next to at work, the children that you're teaching, your teachers. You're to love them as yourself. There's none other commandment greater than these, he says. When you think about it, because of God's love for us and because the love that Jesus had for God, he tells his disciples in the Gospel of John, a new commandment I give unto you. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. So love ye one another. As the Father has loved me and I've loved you, love you one another. There's no dividing line of race, creed, or color in our Lord's thinking. There's no dividing line of nation or where you come from in God's thinking. God cares about his love living in you. God cares about the faith of his son living in your walk and in your life and in your heart. God cares about all that you think of him and his word, that his word is in your heart. That's what he's looking to see. Not what you're doing in the world, per se, by man works, but by godly works. Preaching the word, being in season and out of season. Willing to speak that word of God without reprisals. You don't care about what comes against you because God is with you. You have God and Christ in you. In Romans, please. It shows us, Romans chapter 3. It shows us God's love and his righteousness to us by way of what he's given in his son, Jesus Christ. Because of his love, because of our believing confession on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been given the faith of Jesus Christ to dwell within us, to enable us to do the things that God has called us to do. In chapter 3, it tells us in verse 21, it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and upon all that do one thing, what? Believe. So is it given to everybody? No, it's only given to those who believe in that name of Jesus Christ. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, upon all of them that believe. For there is no difference. Because why? God is no respecter of persons. Well, I came up in Episcopal Church myself, cross between Catholic and Protestant and Lutherans. Oh, well, I came up in Catholic Church, me. I went to all the rosaries, went to every confessional. I even got whacked on the wrist. But the thing is, it's not where you came from. It's what you come to in the Word, according to God's direction, God's commands, what he wants and how he wants it. He says, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So being justified freely by his grace, which is also a gift of God, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's a lot to take in. You've been given the faith of God through Jesus Christ. So you have that faith of Jesus Christ living in you. You've been given the love of God, which is in Christ, and you've been given a hope that God has given for all those who believe, looking towards that coming kingdom, that day of the hope that we receive, the hope of glory. So we see God's love written here. In verse 26, he says, to declare at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and a justifier of him that believes in Jesus. So where is boasting? Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. There's a law of faith. And it's a law of faith on how to operate that faith in your walk, which is according to the word of God. In Romans, let's go to Ephesians, please. So how do we perfect that love that God has given us in Christ? We learn in Romans 12, it shows in your walk with God, putting on that word, that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind according to the word. But Ephesians chapter 4 gives us the example of the walk and action and ministry and service for us who are in Christ, in service. We're not supposed to be like unto ourselves. In fellowship, we're all one in this fellowship in the body of Christ. When fellowship breaks up, we're to keep that same mindset, building each other up in our most holy faith. And to build each other up, that means take the time to listen. Take the time to encourage. Take the full time to love. Chapter 4, like I said, gives us the ministry of our walk. And I love this section. I read it over and over and over again to see, who am I supposed to be? How am I supposed to respond to the body? How am I supposed to act before God? I beseech you, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that you walk worthy. It's a walk. And it's a walk of worthiness. The walk worthy is to walk in holy accord with God. Chapter 4, Ephesians.
Yeah, which?
Oh. Verse 2. So it's worthy of the vocation. That vocation means of your calling wherewith you were called. With all lowliness. And the word lowliness is humility. Humbleness of mind. Not vain or heady or high-minded about who you are and what you have in Christ. Or if you're a coordinator, or if you're a minister or pastor, or just a layman in the word. We're not to be high-minded of ourselves. We're to walk in humility. Why? Because Jesus Christ was humble. He was meek. He was tender-hearted. He was loving. He was forgiving. He was compassionate. He was merciful. Why? Because his Father was the same. That's why it tells us, with all humility and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. John taught that one time. Long suffering. In marriage, you got to be long suffering. In a love relationship, you've got to be long suffering. And you got to be forbearing to one another. You got to put up with each other. Because no two people are alike. And I think God knows that. None of us are the same. But in order to have the same thoughts, the same mind, speaking the same things, it takes this word of God to be living in our hearts and minds, to think, to speak, and to act upon. And the reason why we do it, because God has been long-suffering and forbearing towards us. He's been long-suffering and forbearing for thousands and thousands of millennia and years and awaiting for the coming of his Son and awaiting for our day. And he's still waiting for our day when we'll be gathered to Him for all eternity. So when you really deeply consider that love that God has, it's love, it's faith, and He's also given us a hope. So let's get back in here. So there is one body, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, and that means you'll walk by the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism. There is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, because of your believing confession on the Lord Jesus Christ. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I'm going to skip down here to verse 11. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, and for the sole purpose of for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, that we all think the same things, speak the same things. You see? Till we all come in the unity of the faith, in the oneness. That word unity is the oneness of the faith. That oneness is of the faith is of the faith of Jesus Christ and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Your perfection is that Spirit that you have in Christ. The love of God in your walk with that genuine love of God, not acting loving, but being genuinely loving and kind. Genuinely. And that's from a heart of love. Unto a perfect man in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that when Christ comes back, you will be like Him. And that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. There's a lot out there in the world. A lot of doctrines, a lot of traditions, a lot of customs, a lot of mannerisms on how you should act according to the flesh. He says, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive you. To deceive you from walking by the Spirit, from walking according to this word of God, from putting on that mind of Christ, from believing that you have Christ in you, the hope of glory, from believing that you can do all things through Christ in you, from believing that you can operate and manifest the power of God by way of the Holy Spirit. But speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up into Him in Christ in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, each one of us are in the body for a purpose. According to effectual working in the measure of every part, it makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It comes right back to love. Let's look at Ephesians 3. Paul's prayer. This is a beautiful prayer that Paul prays, because it's a prayer that we need to, again, to think deeply upon. All that's written of us and of God and what God says of us, we need to really think deeply upon it. Not to take it or read it lightly or just glimpse over it. Well, I read scripture today. I read two books today. What did you learn? What did you retain? What do you hold in your hearts? Ephesians 3, Paul says in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He, God, would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, which is in Christ. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by what? Faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Not doubts. Not wondering if He was or if He wasn't. not wondering or thinking, was he really all that important? I hear he was just a prophet. No. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Here we go again. Rooted and grounded in love. That means in God's love. Rooted and grounded in His love. All that He's done for you. All that He's provided. All that He continues to do for you. Each one of us has a psalm. Each one of us has a doctrine. Each one of us has a witness and a story. Many can be brought to tears from how God called you out of the world. Many of us. That you may be able to comprehend, to understand fully with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, to know the love of Christ, to know it emphatically, without a doubt, that He loved me. He gave His life for me, for you, for all men. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, which exudes knowledge, which is of God, from God. See, because that Christ in you is spirit. And it is the Spirit of God that will be working in you, both to will and to do according to His good pleasure, according to His purpose and His purpose alone. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is of God, which is in Christ, that works in us. Unto Him, God, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. That's a big gulp to take. Look at Philippians, please. Philippians 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. The Apostle Paul, you know, God gave the Apostle Paul the greatest revelation written to the church. The greatest revelation written to the church. The Apostle Paul's love and his faith and his commitment to God was unwavering. In distress, in troubles, in trials, in beatings, in scourgings, he still spoke the word throughout it all. His care and concern for the people at Philippi and from Thessalonica, from Colossians, was the same thing concerning their faith, their walk. In verse 3, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, as I do, as John does, as all the coordinators, and as we all should do, in every remembrance of each other, that we thank God for one another. We thank God for your faith. We thank God for your love. We thank God for your walk. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day, even until now, even until this day. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it, he says, until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, until Christ's return. Paul says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all. Does it mean everybody was doing the same thing? Does it mean everyone was walking by the faith? No. But in Paul's heart, in his mind, in his thoughts, this is what he thought of each and every believer. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record witness, how greatly I long after you all, Paul says, in the bowels, in mercies and compassion, I long for you all, he says. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge, that's in knowledge of the Son of God, and in all judgment. John taught on integrity and judgment, to walk by and with integrity before God. In judgment, in the words, in what God judges, not what we judge, not what we think, but what God says. Go to 1 Thessalonians, please, chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 2. Again, for the Thessalonians. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope of our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. And patience of hope. Things happen to us. Things come down upon us, some severe, some less. And it's at those moments that we have to remember we have a hope, that God is with us, that no matter how great the pain that we might be suffering, God is with us. We trust in Him. Our prayers don't go unanswered. With patience. Patience. That's a walk by the Spirit. And trusting God and knowing God is there. So I have to be patient. And awaiting the answer to my prayer. In patience of hope of our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God. Oh Lord, come quickly. If He comes now, it'll be great. Right at this moment, Lord, it'll be great. We'll have to go through this tomorrow. That's anxiety. That's being anxious. And God says, be anxious for nothing but at everything in supplication and in prayer. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, you see, will rule your hearts. It's the peace of God. He says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your calling of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. And in the Holy Spirit. He's reminding them of what they received. He's reminding them of what they have. And in much assurance. Assurance means in much confidence of what you received. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. In verse chapter 3, you begin to see Paul's heart that he had for the believers here in Thessalonica. In chapter 3 in Thessalonians, verse 7, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all of our affliction. I'll let you get there. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all of our afflictions, in all of our tribulations and troubles and distress by your faith. Don't forget, Paul was locked up. He was in chains. But yet and still, his heart and concern or for the believers in Thessalonica, for the believers in Philippi, for the believers in Ephesus, for the believers in Galatia, for the believers in Colossae. Think about it. Out of all he was going through and enduring, he says, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God, night and day praying, he says, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. You see, not everybody walks correctly. They have to be reminded. We all have to be reminded of our walk of faith. Now God himself, he says, our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you. The Lord make you to increase. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love. The Lord does. Why? Because your thoughts are on Him. Your thoughts about His love. Your thoughts about His care and concern for you. Emphatically confident that God is with you. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another and toward all men. Even as we do toward you. There's not many people that, you know, I can get along with. I'll be honest with you. I'm not the most open person. Only when you come to me and you talk, then I'll have conversation with you. But I love everybody. I love all men. Not all men are agreeable to me, but I love everyone. He says, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and all his saints. That is in the hope. And the hope that we have, here it is, chapter 4, our hope. 1 Corinthians 15 shows us that we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. He says, but I would, in verse 13, chapter 4, in 1 Thessalonians, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, concerning them which have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which have died in Jesus will God bring with him. That's when Christ comes back. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, in other words, precede them which have died. But I love the way the Lord puts it here in the old King James, which are asleep. Because your next awaking moment will be before the Lord. That's why you're asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, if we are at that time, and remain, shall be caught up together with them, together as one, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And the last verse says, wherefore, comfort one another. Build up one another with these words. Fear not, the Lord's coming back. Fear not, there's a day coming when the Lord will raise up all those who are in Christ. Fear not, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Everything that we've just read through. 1 Corinthians 13 says, and now abides faith, hope, love, the love of God, charity, which is the love of God. These three, the greatest of these is the love of God. The love of God living in your heart and your mind, remembering what it took God to get to this point in this day. What it took God to be long-suffering and forbearing for the bringing forth of his Son. What it took God in his love to give his Son and to watch his Son to die. Think about it. And then Luke is where I'm going to close. Luke chapter 17. I just pray that this rings clear in the hearts of each and every one of us. To love God with every fabric of your being because of who he is and because of what he has done and because of what he has promised us and because of what he has given us in Christ. It's to really think deeply upon it. In 17... In verse 7. But which of you having a servant plowing and feeding cattle will say to him by and by when he has come from the field after working all day and sweating and tired, go and sit down to eat. No. because you're the master of the house. He's the servant. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, while I may eat, and gird yourself, clothe yourself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you shall eat and drink. Think about it. Your poor servant's been out there in the field sweating in that hot sun all day long, burning up, tired, hasn't eaten a thing, maybe had water. And when he comes in, you would think from an honest heart and a loving heart, say, oh, sit down. You've been out there all day long. Here, get yourself something to eat. No, because you're waiting for him to come in to serve you. But that servant, that faithful servant, this is what he says. This is the answer. In verse 9, does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I don't think so. I trow not means I don't think so. So likewise you as a servant, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you of the Lord, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. It is our duty to serve the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It is to love him with every fabric of our being. It is to look towards the hope of glory that he has set before us in Christ. It is to walk by that faith that he's given us in his Son. God bless you all, and I love you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, Father, for these words. I thank you, God, for blessing me to be able to teach it. And I thank you for all here receiving it with great joy, in meekness, and in humility, in the name of Jesus Christ.